Daf Lamed Gimel. Today's learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, the Gemara quotes a brayso, the last four lines. Tanya Rabbanan Nishu Rov Olav V'Nishtayru Bo Miut Kasher. So there's a strange brayso the Gemara is going to try to clarify. But let's say you have, of the Hadassah, most of the leaves fall off. So you have three leaves on each of the levels. So most fall out, which means two fall out. And Nishtayru Bo Miut, and a Miut's left over, it's Kasher. As long as three remain. Avos means three, so that's obviously a contradiction. We just said, if most fall off, it's still good, as long as three remain. That doesn't make any sense. Hagufa kasher, amis nishirov olav, kasher, most of them fall off, it's kasher. But how the Tani, then it says you have to have still, ubevad shite avos, as long as the shells of three still remain intact. So answers the Gemara, kevin de nisulu, part of the question still actually, kevin de nisulu tre, Avos heichamishkach, so once two fall off, which is rove of the three, how do you still have the avos? So Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, mishkach as well, you find such a case, be'asa mitzra, dekaima shiva shiva b'chad kina. That you have this in a special asa matzra, Rashi's two pshatim here, either it means in the meitzar, hadasana grow on the border, which means there's a lot of space on the other side of the border, it could grow more and more until there are seven leaves on each of the levels. Or the other Pshat Rashi is it's apparently Hadassim from Mitzrayim that they grow seven leaves on each level. Either way, in this case, if there's seven leaves on each level, so then Dechi Nisru Arba, when four fall out, which means Rov, still Pash Lutzlas, you still have three remaining. So that's what the Gemara, the Brisa, was referring to. So Amar Bai Bai says, but you can learn from here, Shema Mina Hayasa Mitzra, this Asa Mitzra, this Hadassim, either from Mitzrayim or that grow on the borders, it's Kasher Loshana. It's good for Hoshana, good for the Dalminim. Pshita, of course, why would you think it's not good? Because there's too many of them. So Mao the same, but what would you have thought? Ho the Isle Shame Lovi Lo Miskasha, since it's called something else. It's not called just Hadassim, it's called Hadas Mitzra or Asa Mitzra. Maybe it shouldn't work. Kamash Malan, it does. It's good enough. V'eimahachanami, well maybe it shouldn't. Give me a proof. Prove to me that you're allowed to use Hadas the Asa Mitzra. So Gemara says, based on the pasuk, it says eitz avos. Amrachmana mikomakum. It doesn't say where you get it from, as long as it has this shalshalas. And this has the shalshalas, so it's good enough. And therefore, even though it starts with seven leaves, as long as it remains with three leaves, it's good enough. So Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, and the Braisa tells the Yavshu Rov Olav. If most of the leaves dry off, V'nisharu bo shlosha bandei olin. If three of the leaves remain, even though most of it has been dried off, Lachan that still remain moist, it's kosher, that's still acceptable. V'amar Rav Chista uverosh kol echad v'echad. So it's a little bit unclear how what the Braisa means here, but you have the three branches. Hadassim, you know, are three branches. And let's say all three branches get dry except for the very top leaf of each one. The top three leaves of each of the branches remain moist. That's when it's good enough. But if only one of the lower leaves of each of the branch remain moist, but the top one is dry, that's not good enough. As Rashi says, it's not hider. It's not hider. Look at Rashi. Barosh kol echad. Shehul olin halachin barosh yabadim. The moist leaves must be on the top of each of the three hadassim. Aval be'emtsam. If they're somewhere in the middle, lav hadru, that's not good enough for hider. Gemara now quotes further from the Mishnah, Niktam Rosha. If the top of the Hadassim were snipped off, that's going to be possible. Tatana Ula Bar Chinina, Niktam Rosha, also Bo Tamara Kasha. However, let's say one of these berries grows right exactly where that spot was where it got cut off. That actually makes it acceptable. That makes it kasher. That's no longer considered chasa. It's not longer considered possible. So now based on this idea that the berry could grow on top and bring back that hadassim to be kosher, right? If it gets snapped off, it's pasul. If the berry somehow grows afterwards, it's kosher. So what happens in the following shiloh? Gemara asks, Ba'i Rabbi Yirmiyah, Nektam Rosho Me'erv Yamtif, and then V'also Bo Tamara B'Yamtif Mahu. So let's say Erev Yamtif, this is a pasul hadass, because it had Nektam Rosho. Next day, Yamtif Rishon, somehow the berry grows, and now it's good. So what's the shiloh? Is that good or not good? So we're throwing in the concept that comes up a few places in Shas, Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos or Lo. Is there a concept of Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos? Which means, when Yontif had begun, this Hadassah was Pasul. It was Nidche. It was disqualified. Can you rehabilitate a mitzvah to come back into being kosher? So do we say Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos, which means it's not good enough since when Yontif started, it was Pasul, and I don't care that the berry grew afterwards, it's Nidche? Or no, lo dichaita mitzvahs, if we could somehow bring that mitzvah back to life, we would accept it. That's the shiloh. So Gemara says, after raising the Shaila, we can answer the question very simply from a Mishnah Maseches Chulin. The Tifshal Lei Mehad Etzran. Let's learn, let's answer the question from this Mishnah. Kisei, when it comes to Kisei Dam, when you shecht a oaf or a chaya, but not a behemah. Behemah is a domesticated animal, but a bird or a wild animal, you have to cover the blood with the mitzvah of Kisei Dam. So let's say, Kisei V'niskala, you covered it, and then somehow the wind blew the dirt off, you're pater. Milachsos, you ready to fulfill the mitzvah, you're pater from Kisei Dam. Let's say, however, you didn't cover the blood, but Kisei Ruach, the wind blew the dirt and covered the blood, I didn't do it, and the Chayav L'chasos, I have to now recover it. What do you mean recover? It's already covered. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela Shechazar V'Nisgala. I mean, if the wind blew it, covered, and then the wind blew it again and uncovered it, then I need to go ahead and cover it. Aval Lo Chazar V'Nisgala, Pater Milchasos. But if the wind blew the dirt on top of the blood and never uncovered it, never exposed it, I'm Pater, the mitzvah is done. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. If the wind blows the dirt on top and covers it, and then it uncovers it, why do I have to do the mitzvah? Wasn't that nidcha? I was pater for the first case. Gemara says, "Vahavina ba ki chazav v'nisgala." When the wind exposes the blood, amai chayv l'chasas. Why do I have to cover it? Hovi idchu idchu. Shouldn't you say once it's pushed off the mitzvah, I'm pater, it's nidcha, I don't have to do it ever again? The fact that the Mishnah says you have to redo it if the wind exposes it must be amira papa zosimeres ein. Meaning, even though initially I was exempt from doing the Kisei Dam because the wind had covered it, if the wind uncovers it, we don't say nidche, we say I have to do the mitzvah, ein dichoi etza mitzvos. So why don't we say that here as well? That there's no dichoi by the hadas. When Yantiv started, the tip was cut off and it was dichoi, and the tamar grew on top afterwards, we should say ein dichoi etza mitzvos, and you should be able to use such a hadas. So Gemara says no. Rapapa Gufa Mibaile. Rapapa himself wasn't sure. He wasn't sure what the answer was. Rapapa himself, we're unsure. What does he mean? Do we say that Rapapa was Mifshe Pshitule? He knew for sure he paskined the Ein Dichoy Eitza Mitzvahs at all. Lo Shna Lakula, Lo Shna Lachumra. Every application he would say, Ein Dichoy Eitza Mitzvahs. Whether that's a Chumra or whether that's a Kula. In the case of the Kisei Dam, that's a Chumra, that you have to do the mitzvah. In the case of Hadassim, it's actually a kula that you're allowed to use the Hadassim. So do we say it was Pashatim, Ein Dichoy Etza Mitzvahs? Oduma, perhaps, Svuke Mesafkale. He wasn't sure. So maybe only the Chumra Amrinan went to Chumra, such as Kisei Dam, we make you go recover it, because maybe a Chumra Ein Dichoy Etza Mitzvahs, but maybe for a kula, like to allow us to use Hadass, maybe Lo Amrinan, we don't know when our papa made his halal, when he made his statement, was he saying this Bivadai or Bisafik, and therefore the Gemara ends off as a teku. We don't have a good answer. The Gemara remains as a question, what's a din? Dichoy Etza Mitzvahs or Ein Dichoy Etza Mitzvahs? That's a separate shaila. I don't know if it's relevant here, but
because the adas, the whole mitzvah and the person, no matter what it is, he has to take an adas and be yotze here as long as the blood is covered. Who cares?
Yeah, but I think it's a person who does it, his responsibility. And even if it's not his, even if someone has to get it done. At the end of the day, if it was covered by the wind and it was re-uncovered, someone has to do it though. The Gemara then says halfway down the Amud here. Lema, let's say the following. Ketanai, let's say this question of dichoy to mitzvahs or ain't a dichoy, it's really a machlokas tanai. So what's the machlokas? Aber v'liktan pasul divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. We had a Mishnah yesterday that you're not allowed to remove the berries of hadassim. If there are more berries than leaves, the hadass is pasul. But if you remove the berries and there are more leaves, then it's kasher. So let's say a person did this in Yantiv, because you can't do this in Yantiv. It's also to do with Yantiv. But let's say aber v'liktan pasul divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. It's pasul. Even though you did the wrong thing and you removed the monyantiv, it still would be acceptable. So what's this machlokas, whether we accept this or don't accept this? So it's a little bit of a challenging Gemara. Let's take it step by step. So Gemara says, Savrua, the first initial thought was, does not require an egid. So the fact that the first thing Gemara is trying to negate any issue of tas of lomina asoy is a din by sukkah. That you cannot use a schach that was already made and then like put walls underneath it, that you didn't make the schach, that doesn't work. So Gemara wants to know whether or not you apply that din to a lulav. So here it first says, if you don't require an eged by lulav, which means you don't need an asiya, if a maisa is an asiya by lulav, you can't even talk about tasalum and asir. So right now, if you assume everyone holds this lulav ain't tarach eged, so tasalum and asir can't be one of the factors here. And even if you want to say in Timsulav Tsarach Eged that you do need a Maisa to prepare the Lulav, still, Lo Yalfina Lula Misukka, we don't learn the din of Tasan Latsari the Sukkah. Dichsibe Tase by Sukkah of Lomin Asari, but we don't apply the din to Lulav. So Tasa Lomin Asari is not on the radar here at all. So what's a machlokas here? My lad behakim mifligi, demand the pasuk, the one who says it's disqualified, suffer aminon yesh dichoy etamitzes, which means, when Yantiv started, so this hadas had more berries than leaves and was pasul. And I removed it on Yantiv, you can't fix it. It was already dichoy when Yantiv started, so it's pasul. But the other pinin, Rebbe the Chachamim hold, man demachshir suffer, lo aminon yesh dichoy etamitzes. We don't say that. And even though when it started, it was nidcha, when Yantiv started, it was nidcha, you could bring it back to life by removing the berries. Even though that was an isser, we don't say the chef says pasul. So the initial approach here of this machlokas in the Brisa is whether it's dichoy eta mitzvos or ein dichoy eta mitzvos. And the Gemara responds back and says, lo, not true. This is not the only way to interpret this machlokas. Maybe everyone agrees, chuyama lo, arminon yesh dichoy eta mitzvos. No, there's no such thing of dichoy by mitzvos. So everyone really would accept such a hadas. So why would anyone say it's pasul in this case if there's no dichoy by mitzvos? They're arguing about whether or not you learn the halacha of tasa from sukkah. Mar savar, one holds, Rebbe Elazar ben Tzaddik holds, yalfino lulav misukkah, which means, just like tasa is possible by sukkah, it's also possible by lulav, which means what? Erev sukkahs, I made an egged around my dalaminim. The hadasim were possible. He had too many berries. But while it was wrapped in the egged, I picked off the berries, now suddenly it became kosher. But the maisa of the egged was made before it was kosher. I have to untie the egged and retie it. But I didn't do that, so it's a tasel menasei issue. Umar suffered the other one hold, that lo yafino lulav misukka, and therefore tasel menasei does not apply to lulav, and it would be acceptable. Ibai same, another approach. If you do require an egged by lulav, then everybody would agree to chliyama yafin and lulav misukah, that you would apply the din of tasa v'lomina asay by lulav as well. However, not everybody agrees that lulav actually requires an egged. V'halcha b'lulav tzarech egged kamifli. That's the machlokas. Do you require an egged by lulav? Upluksa dehani tanai. They argue on this machlokas tanai elsewhere. The Tanya, the Braisa says, lulav bein ogud, bein she'ogud kasher. Whether the lulav has an egged or not, it's kosher, meaning you don't need an egged. If you don't need an egged, then you can't even speak about a maisa and tassel menasseh. Rabbi Huda argues, omer agud kosher, sheino agud pasul, meaning you do require an egged, you do require maisa, in which case, if you require maisa, you will learn tasa from menasseh from the din of sukkah. So my time, what's the reason, Rabbi Huda, how do we know he requires an egged? Yalaf lakicha lakicha. We saw this already once early in the Masechta. There's a gzer shava from Agudas Ezov by Paraduma. Ksiv hacha says here by Sukkah by Dalaminim lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon. Uksiv hasam by Paraduma lakachtem Agudas Ezov malahalan Aguda. You have to wrap all the different pieces together. Afkan Aguda. That's the basis of the Rabbi Huda that you require an eged. And come along Rabbanan lest they lakicha lakicha. They don't hold of such a gzer shava. And therefore, there's no Ege, there's no Maisa, and no Psul of Tasev Lomina Aswe by Dalaminim. So asks the Gemara, Man Tana Laha, who is the author of the following Braisa? The Tanur Banan Lulav, Mitzvah Ogdo, it's a Mitzvah Lichachila to make an Ege for the Dalaminim. Vim Lo Ogdo, if you don't, Kosher, it's still acceptable. Samani, who authored this Braisa? E Rabbi Huda, Kilo Ogdo Amai Kosher. He holds, if it wasn't Ogdo, it's actually possible. And I Rabbanan, my mitzvah covered. What's a mitzvah lichachila? Why did the Braisa recommend it? Rabbanan don't seem to require or even suggest Eged. So who is the author who says, we recommend Eged, but if you don't have it, it's still good enough. It's neither Rabbi Huda nor Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, li'olam Rabbanan, u mitzvah mishum zeh keli vanveyu. There's no mitzvah of Eged per se. There's no miyucha dikka din of Eged by lulav. But there's a general mitzvah of hider mitzvah. So then he says, do a eged, it makes it look much nicer. But if you don't do it, it's not going to detract from the mitzvah. So this is the position of Rabbanan that he recommends, l'chachila, hid the mitzvah. Just like you should have a nice talis, you should have a nice sefer Torah, you should have a nice lulav. How do you make a nice lulav? With an eged. But without an eged, it's not the mitzvah at all. So Gemara now says further, as follows. So the last three lines of the Amud here, oshahayu anavav merubim. We said in the Mishnah that if there are more berries than there are leaves, it's actually possible. So Amr of Chista Davar Zeh, Rabbeinu Agadol Amru, this was something that Rabbeinu Agadol had said, and he was sick at the time, so they would say the following, V'amokum yeh be'ezro, Hashem should help him, Yishev refuah shleima. So what did he say? Lo shano el b'makom echad. It's only true if all the berries are in one place. It's a cluster of berries, and there are more berries, more blackberries than the green leaves. That's when it's possible. Aval b'shnayim o shloshim mekomos, if they're dispersed up and down the hadasim, that's actually kosher. That's acceptable, even though in totality there are more berries than there are leaves. As long as it's spread out, it's acceptable. That's the initial quotation of Rabbeinu Agadol. I think that I assume the amount of berries, but I'm not entirely sure.
Berries against the amount of leaves.
Yeah, again, unless you want to say the berries are so big, you have to measure the volume of them. Right, so I assume there was the amount of them, but I'm not sure. So the Gemara says, Amrle, Rava says, Shnai mushloshe b'mekomos have menumar. Pasa, how could you say that? If the berries are dispersed throughout the hadas, that would be menumar. That would look like a spotted cheetah of some sort. That looks possible. That looks very not hadar, and that should not be acceptable. So the Gemara says, let's flip it around. Ella, really, Itamar, if there was a statement, Hachinmar, this is how the statement would have went, and should have went. Oh, shayu anavav merubim me'olav pasul, if there are more berries than there are of leaves, it's pasul. And comes along now, Amr of Chista, Davar Zer, Rabbeinu Agadol Amro, umakam yeh be'ezro, lo shanu el anavav shcharo, it's only true of blackberries. Aval anavav yirokos, if the berries are green, mine dahadasu v'kasha, that's the same color as the leaves. It doesn't look bad, and that would actually be acceptable, even if there are more berries than leaves. Since they're all green, it actually looks nice. So Amr Papa says, so black is pasul, green is kasher. Adomos, what if they're red berries? Kishacharos, we assume red is like black. Damyan, it's similar. Dam Rabbi Chinina says, Haidam shachar adamhu elashalakam. When you see black blood, that's actually red blood. It just got bad. It's red that turned black. It's very relevant when it comes to Hilchas Nida. The Gemara says, talking about the different shades of what's considered dam for Nida. So black is considered red, the Gemara says, because dam, black, is really red. But something went and made it turn bad, but in the essence of it, it's really red. So here as well, when you have a blackberry is really red berry. It just turned black, but it's really all the same genre, the same category as red, and therefore black and red apostle, green are actually acceptable for berries on a hadas. Gemara now says, imit miyatan kasher. If a person had removed the berries before yontif, it's acceptable, that's good. So ask Gemara, dimatani emas, when exactly did they remove the berries? Like, when is this even a shiloh? Ilema makame dil agdai pshita. If it was Erev Yom Tov, and before he put this in the eged, he plucked off the berries, and then he put the eged, that's pashut, of course. Why would you think it wouldn't work? The Mishnah does not need to tell me, if you remove the berries, and then they put a das in the eged, of course that's a good eged. Ela lebasil agdai. It must be, he first made the eged of the lulav and the hadasim arabos, and the Adasim had all these berries, and after making the Eged, he plucked off the berries. That's the Shaila. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, if that's the Shaila, isn't that a case of Dichoy Meikara? And that means you're able to use Dichoy Meikara. Because when he initially put the Hadasim with all the berries in the Eged, that Hadas was pasul. It was Dichoy. And then when he plucked them off while in the Eged, that's good enough. So we see that there's no thing as Dichoy Eitam Mitzvah. Why not answer the question? Tifshot again, Mina, Dichoy Meikara, lo havi Dichoy. There's no Dichoy by Mitzvahs. Gemara says, Li'olam basid agdad. The truth is, really, he made the eged first. And after he put everything in the eged, he plucked it off. So why can't you assume dichoy, ain't dichoy eitzah mitzvahs? Because kasavar eged hazmana ba'almahu, hazmana ba'alma lav klumhu. When we say dichoy eitzah mitzvahs, it's when something significant happens. When yontif begins, let's say, and it was full of berries, that's dichoy. Wrapping it in an eged doesn't give it a shame lulav yet. It's not a lulav, it's Erev Yontif yet. An eged doesn't make it into a lulav yet. Look how Rashi says this. Rashi says around halfway down the narrow lines, he writes, Li'olam basar de'agde, really after you wrapped it around, the kasavar eged hazmana ba'amu, it's just its designation. It's not a real chalosh shame, the eged. Eina gudaso kriya shame, li'os chalalava shame lulav pasalitchos. It's not a real chalosh shame, the eged. V'hilkach afilu dicha meikara, Einkan. It's not even, you don't even address dichoy meikara here. Achi kadesh alav hayom, until yontif begins, vodenu b'psula, and it still remains possible. The chayven demotez man mitzvah v'lo chazilei mikre dichoy, meaning had yontif begun, and the berries were still there, then you could talk about dichoy. Here, erev yontif, wrapping a little egget around it, that's not even dichoy, that's not a chaloshem, and therefore don't bring me a rye from that case. So the case is here, just to be clear, if you pluck off the berries before you put in the egget, that's pasha, that's good. And even if you put it in the egget and plucked off the berries, that's also good. But now the next stage is, once Yontif had begun, what becomes the din now? So Gemara quotes the next stage of the Mishnah. Ein mematin b'yomtif. You cannot pluck off the berries on Yontif itself. Ha'aver v'luktan. What if one had done this on Yontif, even though he wasn't supposed to? My kasher. We saw in Amin Aleph, there's a machlokas, and the Gemara here assumes it's acceptable, even though it was usher to do so. B'dieved, we accept such a hadas. So it asks Gemara now, the ashchor emas. When did it become black? The berries start off as green, and they're actually acceptable. And then eventually they turn red or black. So when did they become black? Ilema de ashchor me'esmol. If they became black, erev yamtiv already, isn't that a case of dichoy meikar? And we say from here, dichoy meikar, if you pluck them off on yamtiv, even though you weren't supposed to, it still makes the chefs of mitzvah good. So shouldn't you answer the question, tifsho mine, dichoy meikar, delo havi dichoy? Because if it was black erev yamtiv, and now on yamtiv, we could pluck them off and accept it, there's no such thing as dichoy by mitzvahs. Elalav de ashchor beyamtiv. It must be where they were green when yamtiv began. And they turned black on yamtiv itself. So that's now a din, what we call nire v'nidchehu. Nir means initially when yamtiv started, it was good. It became nidcha, became possible on yamtiv when they turned black. So now, shmas mino, we could say nire v'nidcha chozer v'nira. That if something initially was good, and then it became pasul, and then it became nira again, that's acceptable. That's our case here. It was green on yantif, it was nira. It became black on yantif, it became nidcha. We plucked them off on yantif, it's now nira again. Nira, nidcha, nira is actually a good mitzvah. Versus lo. That's not the case. Li'olam de ashchor mekar. Really, it became black erev yantif. And it's a classic case of nidcha mekar. Dichoy mekara, to lo havi dichoy. It must be that we can answer the question, dichoy mekar is not a good dichoy, and tifshe minei, and therefore ein dichoy it's a mitzvah. However, that cannot prove to us the other scenario about nira, v'nidcha, v'chovez, v'nira, lo tifshe. That's not on the radar. There are two different cases. I mean, just because I could accept that there's no dichoy by mitzvahs, when it's dichoy mekara, it might be worse, a case of nira, and then nidcha might be worse than that which is dichoy meikara. So at the end of this day, they explain, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, where is that Rashi? Hold on a second. If you look at Rashi, tifshot mine. So Rashi says that devadai dichoy meikara odif, it's better, minir v'nidcha, demashlo nira l'mitzvah, that which was not on the radar at all, me'olam adachshava hashu d'mitzchazi, now it's roi. Let's say you have an animal that's mechusisman, which is, let's say, within 8 days. The animal that's born today is pasul. It's pasul for the next 8 days, and then it's a roi for the animal the following day. That's dichoy meikara. Every animal, every karbon is dichoy meikara. It's by definition, it's born for the first 8 days, it's dichoy meikara, and yet by day 9, it's acceptable. That's because the karbon is the classic model, the example you use. About nira mitzvah, if it was roi for mitzvah, and then nidcha, then it was pushed off, havale dicha, that's much worse, because you mamish pushed it off, it was roi, and something bad happened to it, so now it changed its status. So again, the way Rashi says it is using the carbon as a model for this. So, no, because the carbon, that's a classic case. The Torah itself says, but a case of nidcha mekara is always going to be good enough. Yeah,
but the carbon, when it's mechusar zman, it's possible, the adasim, when they have the green anavim, is kosher. No matter why you look at it.
When yantif starts. When yantif starts, what happens?
Let's say it's green when yantif starts.
That's nira.
That's nira.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's nira v'nidcha.
But then you can use it. A behema, no matter what.
No,
happens,
but then when it's nidcha,
be shechted the first 7 days.
No, but either way, we learn from the animal that nidcha dicha mekara works. That's a dicha mekara, but it starts off as black, and then the black was removed. Yeah. That's a case of the behema of mechusar zman. Either way, we pass from here, ein dichoy it's a mitzvah when it comes to dichoy mekara. There's an interesting question, actually, in the Rush. The Rush asks, what about the following din? He says, let's say a child loses a parent, rachman al-tzlan, and the child is a katan, he's not chayv nevelis. But let's say during shuvi becomes a bar mitzvah, or during shloshim becomes a bar mitzvah, does he now, is he chayv in the mitzvah of avelus? Because now do we say ein dichoy it's a mitzvah? He says, no, since ein dichoy it's a mitzvah, he's chayv to pick up the avelus when he becomes a bar mitzvah boy, ein dichoy it's a mitzvah. The Rush, this is the Marutenberg says this. The Rush argues on his Rebbe, the Marutenberg, he says, no, not true. Ein dichoy it's a mitzvah is only true when you focus on the chefs, or the mitzvah itself, the karbon, the hadasim. Here is the gaver, the individual. When the individual wasn't roy in the first place of avelus, he is completely nidcha entirely. He says he would not be chayv in avelus, even if he became a bar mitzvah boy during the shiva or during the shloshim. Okay, back to the Gemara now, halfway down the Amud. Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan. Ein mimatin b'yamtiv. You're not allowed to remove the berries on Yamtiv, Mishum Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. So Amru, they responded back, Matin, you're allowed to. How are you allowed to? For hokam masakin mana b'yamtiv. Aren't you making this into a kasher hadas? That's tikkun mana. This machlok is where the tikkun mana is a din derais, a din derabanan. We typically assume it's a din derabanan. That's Tosos and Yuma, his understanding. But there's a Mordechai that actually says it's a din derais. It's an issa derais, some type of malacha, some type of makah patish. Either way, it's certainly wrong to remove it because you've been masakin mana. So how could the chacham say, mimatin, take off the berries on yamtiv? So Gemara says very simply, Amr of Ashi kagon shilikten lachila. You pluck them off to eat. So if they're edible, I can pluck off my grapes from the cluster. That's allowed. I pluck off the berries to eat, and mimela becomes a kosher hadas. But my kavana was to eat. So Gemara says, but how is that allowed? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savrele Kavu, the Amar, he held like his father, Rabbi Shimon himself, Davar Shenim is Kavin Mutter. So since you hold like Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to. Davar Shenim is Kavin Mutter. I don't intend on eating. I don't intend on making the hadas. What do you mean? V'ha bai v'rava damri tavayu modi Rabbi Shimon v'pipsik ratio of loyamas? Even though my kavanah wasn't to make hadas, my kavanah was lachila, but it was inevitable. It was a psik ratio that the hadas will be created, a tikkun mana. So how would that be allowed? So Gemara says, no, hachab my skinan de islay oshana acharisa. I have another hadas. So I got three hadas already. This fourth hadas, I got berries, I eat them. So now I'm misakin mana, it makes it into a kasha hadas. I don't need this kasher hadas. I already have three of them. And since I don't need it, that's not called the psik ratio. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. Now, the Ritva asks an interesting question. He said, wait a second. This is Yantav right now. Yantav, we have the concept of mitoch. Mitoch shutzer letzorech ochel nefesh, hutra nami shalotzorech ochel nefesh. Which means that if I'm allowed to pluck them off for the purpose of eating, I could certainly pluck them off for another purpose of non-tzorach ochel nefesh. Why can't I pluck them off even for tikkun mana? So the Ritva says a big chiddush, it requires some hesber, but he says this heter does not work when it comes to tikkun mana. When it comes to making it something into a kli, into a chefza, you cannot apply the heter of mitoch. That's what he writes. You can't apply the mitoch, and therefore this would be an exception to the application of mitoch. It wouldn't work in this case. Why? Not sure why, but that's his understanding. Then he has another strange lashon. He says, in addition to that, also, since you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, of lulav, at that point, when you're picking off the plug, is not asidokalosa say, you wouldn't be allowed to do this either. They have a big problem. What's he even talking about? Why are you applying asidokalosa say here? So there's an interesting ritva. The question seems stronger than the answer, but they have to deal with that question of why wouldn't you say? Yeah? It's not b'idna. So, but unclear why they're even addressing that, because asidokalosa say isn't the relevant point here. The word says it's a psik ratio question, not a question of asidokalosa say. So there's a little bit of a hesber necessary in the sheet of the ritva here. Okay, let's finish off the Ritva, the Gemara rather now. The Gemara says the end before the Brayis, the Tani Rabbanan. Hutter egdo b'yamtuf ogdo. So let's say your knot, your kesher is untied on yamtuf. Your egged untied on yamtuf. What do you do now? So ogdo kaguda sheyarek. So you could do it like you do for a yarek, which means you have some vegetables. So you go to the buy some string beans or I don't know whatever you buy from the supermarket. It's sometimes it's wrapped down with a little string. You don't tie it. You wrap it around a string and you kind of stuff in the other end so it stays somewhat clustered together. That's what a person should do. But you can't tie a real knot because a kesher shekayama is asur nyantif. So ask Gemara, ula anve, why not tie a bow? Me'anvehu, tie a bow, and that would also work as a kesher for the egged. So Gemara says, who is the author of the brayse? It must be Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, damer aniva kshiram al yasehi. Rabbi Yehuda felt that a bow is a real kesher and asur on Shabbos, asur nyantif. So Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, so Eged Mal Yaseh Bai, so you require a real, Rabbi Yehuda is one who requires a real kesher. Meaning if you're holding Rabbi Yehuda, by Hilcha Shabbos, says a bow is a real kesher, but he also requires by an Eged, not just wrapping around, he has another sheet by Hilcha Sukkah, you need to write a kesher, agave kesher, a real tie, so you're stuck for him. Right. So wrapping around like Aguda Sheyarek doesn't work for Rabbi Yehuda, so you're stuck here. So Gemara says, "Hi Tana, this Tana is not really Rabbi Yehuda. So Tana that holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one case, Savrele Kavasei Bechada, that a bow is a problem on Shabbos. But Palagal Bechada, he argues that you don't require a real kesher. So you have some middle sheet here. Halacha Maisa, what does one do if they have the egg and it fell apart on Yantif? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what you should do is you should tie a bow because we paskin against Rabbi Yehuda on Hilcha Shabbos. You're allowed to tie a bow on Shabbos. So you tie a bow on Shabbos to Yantav as well. Tie a little bow on your Eged. It looks a little weird. It looks a little feminine, but that's your Dalminim. You tie a bow and you're good for your Eged on Yantav. However, Ramah says that's not our practice. Our practice is actually to take something, a string, wrap it around a few times, and then stuff it in the end so it doesn't fall apart. The Gra says he doesn't know how this works because you need to have a double kesher. That's only one kesher. So what the Gra says what one should do is take a string, tie around once and make it one knot like that, and then that's one kesher, and then tie the rest around a few times, and then stuff it in at the end. There you've accomplished two keshers, but that's not a kesher of Hilchas Shabbos because it's not really tight, but it's good enough for the halachas of Sukkah. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day and a good Chodesh.